نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه فمنهم من قضى نحبه ومنهم من ينتظر وما بدلوا تبديلا صدق الله العظيم Through the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has gathered us once again to listen to the discourses of deen, especially that of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'een. Last week we had discussed Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Tonight inshallah we shall discuss Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. An amazing Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are so many things mentioned regarding him in his biography. Inshallah, we will discuss most of what has been recorded in the biography of Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala from various kitabs. Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala comes from Persia, Faris. When Hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned, Sabiqul Furs, Salman. From all the Persians, the one who came first to Islam was Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu. Sabiqul Fursi ila al-Islam. Like Suhaib radiallahu anhu from Rome. Her Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, this is Salman was his name. He was also known as Salman al-Khair. Salman, the good one. Salman ibn al-Islam, son of Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very fond of him. Extremely fond of him. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, and inshallah we will discuss the incident, where he says, Salmanu minna ahl al-bayt. That Salman is from us, the Ahlul Bayt, from my family. And that was an honor, a privilege to be included in the Ahlul Bayt, in the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He came from a very noble family. His father was very wealthy, and his father had many properties. He was a owner of many properties, lands. His father was a Majusi, a fire worshipper. So he had appointed his son Salman to keep on kindling the fire, because they should worship the fire. And it was his duty to make sure that it does not become extinguished. So 24 hours this fire must be burning, because they used to worship the fire. Salman Farsi used to do this work, but he was in search of the truth. Now we see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides the person. He is worshipping the fire. He's a Majusi. His entire community, they all are Majusis. They are from Persia. There is an incident now where his father sends him one day. Now his father was very fond of him, and he could not bear to see Salman out of his sight even for a moment. But there came a time when his father had become preoccupied. He needed to attend to some of his chores. So he tells Salman, do me a favor, I cannot go to the fire today, so would you just rekindle this fire and make sure everything is okay there? Salman radiallahu ta'ala, that time he was not a Sahabi, he goes, but as he is going towards this fireplace where they were burning this fire, he goes past a church and he sees people praying. So he's very curious. He goes in and he becomes awestruck And he's captivated by the worship. They worship, and they had been hymning something. So he sits there, and he is delayed. In the meantime, his father is searching for him. So when Salman returned, the father asked him, "Where have you been?" So he gives, explains to his father, he went and he saw these people and they were worshipping something, something else besides what we were worshipping. They were not worshipping the fire. So his father cautions him and says, "I do not want to see you going again there. Those people are not on our deen." Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu protests. He says, no. Their deen is better than our deen. Now this is the Christians. So his father shackles him. Salman Farsi sends a message to those Christians. And he says that, "I would like to meet with your priest. So when it is possible, you give me some indication." And somehow he breaks loose and he goes to the church again. He meets with the priest. Then he becomes his devotee. And he spends several years with this priest. He becomes a Christian. Obviously his father is upset with him. Breaks away from the family. Now he spends, or he is in the service and the khidmat of this priest. But he finds something very strange, very annoying. People would come, the worshippers would come, and they would give their charities to this priest in hope that this priest now will distribute this money to the poor. But he would pocket the money for himself. And Salman Farsi would watch very closely that this priest is not giving, distributing the money to the poor. So when this priest dies, all the worshippers come there, the devotees come there. Salman Farsi then tells them, and he reveals the story of this priest who had been hoarding all the wealth. He had placed it in a treasure box, and this is dug up, and they find that what Salman is saying is true. They become very, very upset with the priest of theirs, and they refuse even to bury him. So then he asks them, "Who is the next person I could go and serve amongst you?" So they say that there's a certain person, he is now appointed as the new priest, you should go and serve him. So he finds this person an ascetic. He finds him to have no attachment to the dunya. He watches him very closely. He is moved by this person's way of life. But as this person, Salman spends a number of years with him. But before he passes away, Salman goes to him and asks him for advice. So he says that you should go to a certain person in Mosul. This person, he will guide you. Salman then sets off on a journey and he goes and he meets with this person, another priest. He spent several years with him. This person also has a good life, a good way of life, good habits, good practices. He does not cheat, he does not deceive the people. And then he in turn tells or suggests to Salman that now you should go to Nasibain. This is another place now. You go there and you will find another person and you should sit in his company. So like this, Salman moved from person to person, from one priest to another priest. He has embraced Christianity. He worships or has the same beliefs as the Christians. But there is something within him that still makes him search for the truth. So this person, when he is about to pass away, he then suggests to him that, see, there is a person who will emerge in Makkah. He will be of the Arabs. He will migrate to a land which will be full of date palms. And then he describes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's seal of prophethood, which will be on his back. He gives him three signs. He says, لا يأكل الصدقة. this Prophet does not eat sadaqah. وَيَقْبَلُ الْهَدِيَّةِ But he would accept a hadiyah, a gift. And he says the khatmun nubuwa is found on his back. These are these three signs. Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala, of course now he is anxious. He wants to go to Makkah. So he asked some people who were going towards Makkah. There were some Arabs who had come there. He joins them. Now thinking that he'll go to Makkah and he'll be a free person and then he will meet with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But we find that these people deceive him. When they come to Makkah, they sell him as a slave. They sell him to the Yahud, or they sell him to the people of Makkah. Now he is a slave amongst the people of Makkah until a person from the Banu Qurayza tribe comes from Medina. And then he purchases him. He becomes the master. This person is a Jew, a Yahud. He takes Salman now to Medina Munawwara. When Salman reaches Medina Munawwara, whilst he is a slave of this Jew, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam becomes a Nabi. Salman had not met him in Makkah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam preaches or invites the people to Islam in Makkah. Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala is unaware of this. One day as he is busy in the orchard, he's climbed up a tree, when suddenly a cousin of his master comes and he's busy communicating with his master. Salman overhears, he says that there is a person who has emerged by the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's making his way towards Medina. He is now at Quba, he's reached Quba. Salman, when he hears this, he begins to shake. And immediately he comes down the tree. He descends. And he asks the person, what did you say? So his master becomes upset. He says, how does this matter concern you? Why should you be so bothered about it? In fact, he gives him a smack. Salman says, no, I just heard some conversation. I just want to know what you are talking about. Now Salman knows that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or this person who his teachers had mentioned that he will emerge, this is the person you should go and be in his company and seek his advice and guidance. This is the person I'm looking for. After a few days, or after some one or two days, he goes to Quba. When he goes to Quba, he sees Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, other Sahaba around him. Now this is the first test. He takes some dates, he presents it before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, I see you people are hungry. I've got some dates. This is some sadaqah. I had taken an oath and my oath was fulfilled, and therefore this is some charity. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepts it, gives it to those Sahaba who were deserving of it. Himself, he did not partake of those deeds. Salman realizes, this is the first alamat. This is the first sign, which is true. He comes the next day. Now he presents dates to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Ya Rasulullah, I saw yesterday you did not partake of those dates. Perhaps it was sadaqah. Well, this is now hadiyah for you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called the Sahaba again, distributed the dates. And this time he partook of those, some of those dates himself. So this is the second sign. But there's still one more sign that Salman has to now look for. This is a difficult one. How is he going to see the seal of prophethood? Salman was still anxious. He was eager. Few days go by. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is now in Medina Munawwara. Salman radiallahu ta'ala goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had gone to Jannatul Baqi. He was returning from Jannatul Baqi. Salman meets him on the way. And then immediately he goes behind his back, thinking that he may get a glance at this Khatmun Nubuwa, the seal of prophethood. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could see the actions of Salman. He realized what Salman was looking for. He removes his shawl, his upper garment. He tells Salman, come and see. Salman sees the seal of prophethood. He falls onto his knees. He begins to cry. And then he embraces Islam. But he's got a problem. That he is still a slave of a Jew. He needs to come out of that bondage. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him that become a mukatab slave. Now there are different types of slaves. Mukatab slave very simply means that this slave will buy his freedom. He will work, he will earn some money, and then he will give, he'll pay off, he'll give this money to the master and he'll buy his freedom. So he goes to this, to his master, and he says, I do not mind being a mukatab slave. Master says, no problem. You will have to plant for me 300 date trees. And added to that, there was an amount of silver or gold that Salman had to pay his master. Very exorbitant amount. Salman radiallahu anhu comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the story. Nabi Kareem sallam tells the Sahaba, who will assist him? One Sahabi says, I will help him. 5 date palms. Somebody said 20. Somebody said 10. Like this, Sahaba assisted him. But still there was an outstanding amount he had to pay. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had some gold that came to him, which was equivalent in size of an egg. He called Salman. Salman, take this and now buy your freedom with this. Salman looks at it, Ya Rasul, how will this avail me? How will this help me? This is a small piece of gold. Nabi Kareem some tells him, go and take it. This gold, piece of gold is taken, it is weighed. And when they weigh this, it amounts more to than what Salman had owed the Jew. So he buys his freedom in this way. Now regarding Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala, I mentioned he was known Salman al-Khair, Salman the son of Islam, Salman ibn al-Islam. The amazing things mentioned about him, there's a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, every sahabi, Allah was pleased with them. They have a very high rank. From amongst the sahaba, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is the highest, then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, then Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, then Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, the remaining, the Ashar Mubashara. We have mentioned this previously. We are not going to go into that details now. But there is a hadith where Rasulullah says, اشتاق الجنة إلى أربعة. That Jannat is desirous of 4 people. Who are these 4? إلى علي والمقداد وعمار وسلمان. Not that Jannat is not desirous of the other Sahaba. But specifically these 4 have been mentioned, and there's an explanation as to why these 4 have been mentioned. Ali radiallahu ta'ala'an, Miqdad radiallahu ta'ala'an, Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu ta'ala'an, and Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala'an. So Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala'an, this was his incident in his life, how he was blessed with Iman. According to some historians, he met with the devotees of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Therefore, according to some historians, Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala lived for a very long span of life. He was amongst those Sahaba who were known as Al-Mu'ammarin. Those were given a very long life. There were Sahaba who lived for 100 years. There were those who lived beyond 100 years. Now according to some historians, Allah Ta'ala knows best how authentic this is. But according to some historians, this has been mentioned in most of the biographies written about Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala, that he lived for plus minus 250 years. He met with the devotees of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. I told you he was from Persia and they were fire worshippers. And eventually he, in search of truth, how Allah blessed him with hidayat and iman, and he embraced Islam with the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he lived several years after Rasulullah's demise as well. So Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala, now stays in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is extremely fond of Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala an. The incident of Khandaq is a very long episode in the history of Islam. There were Yahudi leaders who went to Makkah. They incited, they provoked the kuffar in Makkah. And they said, you know what? Why don't you come and get rid of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? We will assist you. These mushrikeen said, but you know what happened to us in Badr and Uhud? We don't have the strength. He seemed to be overpowering us all the time. Then the Yahudi said, no, we will assist you. So the mushrikeen asked him, whose deen is better? Is his deen better or is our deen better? The Yahudi said, no, of course, your deen is far more superior than his deen. So this makes them happy. They are enticed by the Yahudi. So these kuffar and these disbelievers, the polytheists of Makkah, now they gather an army. Also the people, the tribe living around Medina, and the Yahudi of Medina. They all come around Medina Munawwara. There is a siege. Sahaba cannot come out of Medina Munawwara. They are being attacked from all sides. In one verse of the Quran in Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah explained, إِذْ جَاءُوكُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِكُمْ وَمِنْ أَسْفَلَ مِنْكُمْ وَإِذْ زَاغَتِ الْأَبْصَارِ وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرِ وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الظُّنُونَ. When these enemy, plus minus 24,000 of them, if they lay siege to Medina, they come from all sides, Sahaba are encircled. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes some of the Sahaba ikram, that they became afraid. The eyes began to roam. وَإِذْ زَاغَتِ الْأَبْصَارِ, looking at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, looking at their families, looking at the enemy in front of them, what are they going to do? Their hearts, they became so overwhelmed. They were gripped with fear. وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرَ, their hearts were in their throats. Some of them, the ones who just newly accepted Islam, the weak, those who just embraced Islam a few days or few weeks prior to this incident, they began to have misgivings, different types of thoughts now. What is Allah Ta'ala doing to us now? Of course, they did not deviate, they did not leave the iman, but they became afraid that now we are going to be killed, our families will be killed. وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ ذُنُونَ. There are many other commentaries. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains this incident. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes mashura with the sahaba. What are we going to do? Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala is the hero of that incident. He knew about the strategies of war. He was from Persia. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, could I give my opinion? He said, yes. He said, we should dig trenches around Medina, and this will enable us to attack from within Medina, from inside Medina. The enemy will not be able to come into Medina because they will have to go across the trench, and it will be extremely difficult for them. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this is a brilliant idea. Sahaba begin digging the trench. Salman Farsi is also digging this trench. And of course, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself is there with the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'in. Salman Farsi is busy. He takes his spade, he takes his axe, and they are busy digging the trench when suddenly there's a huge boulder. And he's unable now to break this boulder. And so he looks at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, what should we do now? Ya Rasul, this boulder is in the way. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, leave it to me. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes himself and he begins striking at this huge rock. And in the first darba, the first strike, Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu was standing right by Rasulullah, very close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he observed some light being emitted as Rasulullah struck this rock. He saw something. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam struck for a second time, Salman saw again something else, and then a third time a similar thing happened. Salman Farsi rather than Christian Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem said, did you see it? He said, yes. He says, when I struck the first time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed me the image of the palaces of Kisra, the king of Persia. And I was promised, or I saw that this palace will be conquered and I will be given the keys to the thrones or to the treasures or to the palace of Kisra and the cities around Persia. The second time when he struck, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed me the picture and the visual of Rome. That Rome will be conquered. And the third time, Madain, many other cities which were also going to be conquered by the Muslims. So Rasulullah ﷺ gives them glad tidings, gives the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. The munafiqeen who were also there, they began to laugh. And these people are digging the trench and they're talking about conquering Persia and Rome. Nonetheless, Sahaba, after seeing Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu's excellent opinion about digging a trench, and alhamdulillah, the enemy were not able to destroy the Sahaba. They were not able to attack. There was a small war that took place. Nabi Karim had sent Hazrat Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu. When we discussed his biography, how he went across as a spy, and Abu Sufyan and the enemy were deciding what to do. Allah Ta'ala sent a hurricane. There were strong winds, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uprooted the tents of the enemies, and they were defeated, or they fled back to Makkah. Muslims were victorious. This was Ghazwa al-Khandaq. But during this time, the Muhajireen said that Salman is from us. Salmanu minna. Ansar said, no, Salman is from us. Salman came from Persia. He made hijrah from Persia, came to Makkah, then he came to Medina. But Ansar said, no, he was from Medina. Muhajireen said, no, he made hijrah and came. So they said, Salman minna, Salman minna. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Salman minna ahl al-bayt. Salman is from us, who? The family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What an honor, what a privilege. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made Salman's brother in Islam, when you talk of muakhat, he had paid the Sahaba. He said, from today you are his brother. The brother of Salman was Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala. And there are beautiful stories of Abu Darda radiallahu and Salman. When they lived together, Salman Farsi radiallahu lived with Abu Darda radiallahu for some time. And once when he had visited Abu Darda radiallahu, and some time later when Abu Darda was married, yeah, there's a nice incident which we discussed previously, but of course because we're mentioning the incident of the biography of Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala, we would repeat this incident. Where Salman Farsi radiallahu needs to get married, he wants to get married, he wants to propose for a certain girl. So he sends Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala, both of them go, but he sent Abu Darda inside, he says, you propose for this girl on behalf of myself. Abu Darda willingly goes, knocks on the door, enters, makes salam, he meets the family, and then he says, hey, Salman wants to marry your daughter. He says, Amma Salman fala a'a. We're not interested in Salman. But why not yourself, Abu Darda? And they are interested in Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala. Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala is hesitant first, but then they convince him. They say, we are very pleased, Abu Darda. Why don't you get married to our daughter? So Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala accepts the proposal. And he comes out, Salman is waiting. Abu Darda, everything okay, what's the good news now? Abu Darda is silent, unable to speak. Salman says, what's the matter? He says, no, I'm too embarrassed. I'm not embarrassed for what? He says, I went in to propose on your behalf. These people were not interested in you. They got me married to their daughter. Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala, as I always mentioned, this is the purity of the hearts of Sahaba. They harbored no malice, no vengeance. Salman Farisi says, Allah's Qasam, I should be ashamed that I sent you to propose for a girl for myself, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already decreed her for you. I should feel embarrassed. So Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala, when he's married, Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala once goes and visits him. But he finds that his house is extremely simple. And Salman Farsi himself also lived a very simple life. But when he found out from the family, they say, Abu Darda, entire day he keeps roza, whole night tahajjud. He's got no time for the family. Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala spends the night with Abu Darda. After Isha, they go to sleep. After some time, he sees Abu Darda waking up for tahajjud. Salman stopped. Where are you going? He said, no, Salatul Layl. He said, no, sleep away now. So he goes to sleep. Midnight, Abu Darda wakes up again. Salman stops him again. He said, no, sleep. When is the last third of the night, then Salman Farsi wakes up. He gets Abu Darda up. He says, now you should read your tahajjud. And then he tells him, explains to him. He says, وَإِنَّ لِجَسَدِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّ. Salman, you've got to, your body has got a right over you. Your wife has got a right over you. Your neighbors have a right over you. And then he explained to him that he should not overexert himself. Otherwise his family will complain that he's got no time for them. Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala himself, he gets married to a woman by the name of, some say Nuqayra with a noon, and some say Buqayra with a ba. When he gets married to her, he finds that this home of theirs is decorated, very beautiful. And he's now with his wife, he's sitting there in the room. So he asks his wife, looks like this house of yours seems to be induced with some fever. Mahmumun. Because I see huge curtains draped over the walls, the entrance, over the doors, over all the walls of the house, as though the Kaaba has come into your home. The Kaaba is draped with the ghilaf material. Now you have draped your entire home, decorated like this. He says, you know what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned? He says, لا يكون متاعي من الدنيا إلا كزاد الراكب. This is the wasiyat Nabi Kareem had given me. He said, Salman, all your possessions should just be like a rider, like a traveler. Nothing more than that. So he convinces his wife. And alhamdulillah, she accepts immediately. So they live a very simple life. But after the first night he spends with his wife, the next day, as many people would do, now we go and ask the friend who got married, so how was it? Now tell us what happened last night, and what was this, and what did she say, and what did she wear, and how did she look? Salman's friends are asking him. Salman is quiet. Second, third time, fourth time, Salman becomes angry. And he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed hijab, sutur, curtains, doors, walls, so that a man can enjoy his privacy. What happens within his home, what is private, his private life, he should not divulge this to his friends or any other person. Especially the relationship he has with his wife. Then he says, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioning al-mutahaddithani an dhalika, those, the couple, husband and wife, who discuss their private life to their friends and family, kal-himarayni, they are like two donkeys, yatasafadani ala tariq, who copulate on the road, like two donkeys. Now this is a lesson for all of us. This is that man's private life, her private life. Yes, give them mubarakbad, make dua for them. What happens inside does not concern us. So Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala, cautioned his friends. And of course they accepted his advice. Once he is in the masjid, Sahaba-i-Kiram, Salman Farsi was blessed, he was endowed with great knowledge. So they wanted to hear some of his talks. So Sahaba gathered in the masjid. Within a few minutes, more than 1,000 Sahaba or Tabi'een had gathered in that masjid. Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu goes to the minbar and he begins reciting verses of the Quran, the Surah Yusuf or some other surah. And he is busy reciting verse upon verse. After some time, few people leave the gathering. Half the crowd disappears. Eventually, just a few people remain with Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu. They expected to hear some talk. Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu was too sharp. He sensed this. He addressed the sahab, the tabi'in. What did he say? Az-zukhrufa min al-qawli aradtum? You are very interested in very flowery speech, ornate speech, whereas I am reciting the kitab of Allah before you. I am reciting verses of Quran. Now you and I also, when we hear verses of Quran, then we don't become affected. We just want flowery speech all the time. Tafsir of Quran is given, we become bored, ma'adallah. Mullah Wasiullah rahmatullahi alayh, he had mentioned to his murids, and he says, it is so important that we take the Quran in Majid and we give verses what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed and we explain those verses. People like to hear long, long bayans, flowery speeches all the time. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala was asked about Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala. So he says, Salman Farsi adrak al-ilm al-awwal wal-ilm al-akhir. وَالْعِلْمَ الْآخِرِ That he had attained knowledge of the first meaning of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam and his disciples. He was a Christian first. And also of the Quran. So he knew the Injil, or he knew whatever was taught to him of the Injil, and he knew the Quran. وَقَرَأَ الْكِتَابَ الْأَوَّلِ وَالْكِتَابَ الْآخِرِ And he said he was an ocean of knowledge. When he was departing from this world, he calls his wife, he tells her, shortly I will be visited by some strangers. خَلْقٌ مِّن خَلْقِ اللَّهِ يَجِدُونَ الرِّيحِ وَلَا يَأْكُلُونَ الطَّعَامِ They are such a creation of Allah that they can sense beautiful fragrance, but they do not eat food, they do not partake of food. So he tells her to bring beautiful ether and fragrance and musk and apply that on his bed. He had taken a ghusl. He tells her to sit there. In one riwayat, he tells her that angels are going to visit me now. One riwayat says, Zuwaran, I'm expecting some guests. He says, and close the door. Open the windows. I do not know from which window they might appear. His wife, Buqayra or Nuqayra, says, I'm sitting there next to him. And then I hear some sounds. And within a few minutes, Salman recites the kalima and he passes away. Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala was seen in the dream of Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu ta'ala. Abdullah bin Salam asked him, how did it go with you in the Akhirat? He says, khairan, excellent. And then he tells Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu ta'ala an, alayka bit tawakkul. You must have firm reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alayka bit tawakkul. It was tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that assisted me in the Akhirat. Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala an, he was once with Abu Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. And he takes hold of a branch of a tree. He shakes it. and the leaves are shed, they fall off the branch. Then he tells him, إِنَّ الْمُسْلِمْ إِذَا تَوَضَّأَ فَأَحْسَنَ الْوُضُوءَ وَصَلَّ الصَّلَوَاتِ الْخَمْسَ. He says, when a mu'min makes wudu, and he makes wudu properly, correctly, with all the adab, etiquettes of wudu, with the faraid, the wajibat, the mustahabat, the sunan, every aspect of wudu, he covers properly, and then he performs his 5 times salat, he says, the sins are shed off his body, like how the leaves are being shed off this tree. He says, أَضْحَكَنِي ثَلَاثٌ. 3 things amaze me. He says, ضُحِكْتُ مِنْ مُؤَمَّلِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْمَوْتُ يَطْلُبُهُ. He says, not amaze me, in fact, they annoy me. I laugh at people who have long, long aspirations. And they're so desirous of getting more and more dunya. But they don't realize, وَالْمَوْتُ يَطْلُبُهُ. Maut is in pursuit of that person. This person forgets that he is going to leave this world. He just wants to amass wealth. He just wants to gather more. He has long, long hopes. But maut is right behind him. He says, I begin to laugh at such people. Then he says, غَافِرٌ لَا يُغْفَلُ عَنْهُ. Person who is negligent of Allah. Whereas Allah is not negligent of him. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِرًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. We should not regard Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be negligent or unmindful of us. Allah is watching us all the time. So how can we become negligent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then he says, ضَاحِكٌ مِلْأَ فَمِي. Person who laughs with a gaping mouth. And he laughs loud. He laughs aloud. He laughs loudly. Not realizing whether Allah is going to be happy with him on the day of Qiyamah. Allah is going to be angry with him. If you know Allah is going to become angry with you, then you would not laugh in that manner. It is mentioned in the hadith that laughing excessively makes the heart hard. And a person with a hard heart, he is kept away from Allah's mercy. Then he says, 3 things make me cry. Firaqul Ahibba Muhammadin Hizbi. That just the thought of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam leaving this world, the Sahaba leaving this world, the fact that they have left this world, when I think about it, makes me cry. And hawl muttala' in the ghamarat al-maut. And that the horrifying condition of a person in the throes of death. Person in sakrat. The things that he experiences, the horror, the pain, that thing makes me cry. And then al-wuqufu bayna yaday rabbil alameen. Standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I begin to cry. I do not know whether I'm going to go to Jannat or whether I will go to Jahannam. So that makes me cry. These are 3 things made Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala cry when he would ponder over these things. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat of emulating the Sahaba. We should be inspired by the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. They were so simple. And they were pious, they had genuine taqwa. When Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala, so often you would find Sahaba would offer him, Umar radiallahu ta'ala would offer him treasures, offer him money. He would say, no, I do not require this. I promise Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will live in this world like a rider. In other words, having bare minimum, and I will leave this world in that condition. Just a few verses and we'll terminate, inshallah. We're continuing verses of tafsir of Surah Maryam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما نتنزل إلا بأمر ربك له ما بين أيدينا وما خلفنا وما بين ذلك وما كان ربك نسيا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now this is Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam mentioning to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and Allah mentioned this in the Quran. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was questioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, ma yamna'uka an tazurana akthara mimma tazurana qabl. What stops you, Jibreel? You used to often us, you used to visit us so often before. Now why have you stopped that visitation? We're waiting for you. Rasulullah would wait for Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam to come down with some verses. But Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam will not come down. There was some hikmah, some wisdom behind this. The mushrikeen or the kuffar or the munafiqeen began to laugh at Rasulullah. They would mock at him, ridicule him. Oh, looks like he is Allah, he is Rabb, has abandoned him now. There's no angel coming down. What's happening? Where is the Jibreel who used to come down and bring some and reveal verses upon him? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would feel this pain and he would become very perturbed. So he would question Jibreel when he would come down. Jibreel said, وَمَا نَتَنَزَّلُ We cannot come down on our own accord. We only come down بِأَمْرِ رَبِّكِ when Allah commands us to do so. لَهُمَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِينَا وَمَا خَلْفَنَا When we come down towards the earth, whatever is in front of us, whatever is behind us, the earth, the skies, what is between the two, all belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the supreme owner. He is the ruler. He is the king. Everything is in his control. He does as he pleases. We cannot move. We cannot flap our wings. We cannot do anything except with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيًّا Allah says, and your Allah has not forgotten that he requires to send down verses upon you. He's not forgotten you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah is well aware that you are waiting for some verses to come down. So, the past, the present, the future, everything belongs to Allah. The skies, whatever is within the skies, whatever is in the skies, the earth, whatever is in the earth, whatever is beneath the earth, whatever is above the skies, whatever is between the skies and the earth, everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is Rabbu samawati wal ardh wa ma baynahuma. Fa'budhu, Allah says, therefore worship him alone. Fa'budhu. Wastabir li ibadati. And remain steadfast in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hal ta'lamu lahu samiyya. Do you know any other person who has got the name Allah? Do you know of any other deity who has the name Allah? Who has the attributes, who has the qualities that Allah possesses? There is no other deity. Therefore, only Allah is worthy of being worshipped. And those people who have this yaqeen that everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely, then these are the people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, man kana taqiyya in the previous verse, they have taqwa. وَيَقُولُ الْإِنسَانَ أَإِذَا مَا مِتُّ لَسَوْفَ أُخْرَجُ حَيَّا Man, what does he say? أَإِذَا مَا مِتُّ When I pass on, when I die, لَسَوْفَ أُخْرَجُ حَيَّا Will I ever be resurrected and given life again? These were the doubts they had concerning حَيَاتْ بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ بَعْثْ بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ Life after death. After a person dies, body is disintegrated, bones into the soil. There's no blood, there's no flesh. How will we get life again? How will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather our flesh and bones and our bodies and resurrect us again? Allah says, أَوَلَا يَذْكُرُ الْإِنسَانِ Does man not ponder and reflect? أَنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ قَبْ That we were the ones who created him originally. Man was not in existence, he was in non-existence. Allah brought us into existence. So who created us then? That Allah who brought us into existence, has he not the ability now to give us life after we die? وَلَمْ يَكُ شِيْءَ When man was nothing, it was Allah who created us. So how do we forget this? فَوَرَبِّكَ Allah says, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, By the qasam of your Rabb, meaning by qasam, I take an oath in my own name. لَنَحْشُرَنَّهُمْ We will gather them, who? The kuffar, the disbelievers. وَالشَّيَاطِينَ And the shayateen. ثُمَّ لَنُحْضِرَنَّهُمْ Then we will make them present. We will gather them where? حَوْلَ جَهَنَّمَ Around Jahannam. جِثِيَّ They will be on their knees. They will fall on their knees. They will squat on their knees. They will not even be able to stand nor be able to sit comfortably. They will be on their knees, pleading to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, terrified. They can see Jahannam in front of them. Allah says, ثُمَّ لَنَنْزِعَنَّ مِنْ كُلِّ شِيعَةٍ. Amongst these sinners, different groups of sinners, Allah says, then we will extract, we will pull. أَيُّهُمْ أَشَدُّ عَلَى الرَّحْمَنِ عِتِيَّا. The one who was most arrogant amongst them, against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثُمَّ لَنَحْنُ أَعْلَمُ بِالَّذِينَ هُمْ أَوْلَى بِهَا صِلِيَا. Then we are the ones who know better, who from amongst them deserve to go into Jahannam first. So Allah will put in the leaders first. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then throw into Jahannam all those who disbelieved and rejected Him. Allah says, وَإِن مِّنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا كَانَ عَلَى رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا مَقْضِيًّا ثُمَّ نُنَجِّي الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَنَذَرُوا الظَّالِمِينَ فِيهَا جِثِيًّا. Allah talks about Pul Sirat. We have heard about Pul Sirat. This bridge which extends over Jahannam. So in order to gain entry into Jannat, paradise, one has to cross Pul Sirat. كَانَ عَلَى رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا مَقْضِيًّا. This is a pledge, a promise that Allah has taken upon Himself, which is inevitable, it is absolute. Nobody can avoid this. Everybody has to go across. Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu ta'ala, the great Sahabi, and I think we had mentioned him also, when he used to read this verse, he would cry the entire night. So his wife wakes him. Why are you crying? He's unable to explain to her. So he's crying. So see, she sees him crying. So she also begins to cry. So then he asks, okay, tell me why you crying now. I don't know. Your crying makes me cry. Finally in the morning, then he explains to her this verse. وَإِن مِّنْكُمْ every one of you, إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا. He has to cross Pul Sirat. Allah has taken this pledge upon Himself. Nobody will be spared. It is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يُضْرَبُ الْجِسْرُ عَلَىٰ ظَهْرَانِي جَهَنَّمْ, that this bridge, Pul Sirat, will extend over Jahannam. But the believers will cross Pul Sirat كَطَرْفِ الْعَيْنِ, like the, so quickly, so rapidly, like the bat of an eyelid. You blink your eyelids so quick. Like that, the believers will cross Pul Sirat. Then there will be a group that كَمَرِّ الْبَرْقِ, like the flash of lightning, very swiftly. Then karrih, like a hurricane, wind moving with great speed and velocity, very fast. Then katayr, very swift, very fast moving bird. Then karrakibi, or kahudri al-furs, a very fast horse that is galloping. Then like a person who is running. Then like a person who is walking that speed. So the believers will cross Pul Sirat. Nobody will be given permission to speak on that day except whom Allah gives permission. And at Pul Sirat, Nabi Karim Sam says that I and my ummah will cross Pul Sirat first, before any other nation, before any other ummah. Each Nabi will be saying, Allahumma sallim, Allahumma sallim. And especially, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be standing there. And as his ummatis are moving, are crossing this Pul Sirat, he'll say, Allahumma sallim, Ya Rabbi sallim, Ya Allah, take it easy, man. Allah, be kind, be gentle. Save them. So the believers will go across. It's mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَنَاجٍ mursal, a person will gain salvation, mursal, he'll be released. Nothing will happen to him. These are the ones who go across very quickly. Then فَمَخْدُوشٌ, then there'll be those, so the first one, فَنَاجٍ musallam, those who will gain salvation, musallam, they will be sound, nothing will happen to their bodies. The second group, فَمَخْدُوشٌ mursal, they'll get a few scratches here and there. Because it is mentioned, in Jahannam, there'll be huge cranes with huge hooks. And these hooks will catch on to the person depending on his bad deeds. It will wound him, injure him. So there will be these believers who committed some sins. So they'll get a few scratches, but mursal, but they'll be released. They will not fall into Jahannam. They'll be saved. But then there'll be mukardas. There'll be those who are makdus or makdush. There'll be those who'll be pushed into Jahannam. These are the words that come in the hadith. Makdushun with the kaf. Makdushun or makdusun. In one riwayat, mukardas. They'll be piled in Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala save us. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ نُنَجِّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. Believers, those who are righteous, those who are pious. According to the amal, they will move across. The speed of their moving across and traversing this pul sirat will be dependent on the good deeds in this world. So Allah says, we will save them. They will not fall into Jahannam. وَنَذَرُوا الظَّالِمِينَ فِيهَا جِثِيَّا. But the oppressors will leave them in Jahannam on their knees. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. May Allah protect us. May Allah give us the understanding of the Quran and Hadith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the opportunity of reflecting over the verses of the Quran. We've just mentioned a glimpse. But we should go and reflect on these verses. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning us against. Every single Nabi also will cross Pul Sirat. Each one of us has to cross Pul Sirat. May Allah ta'ala enable us to do good deeds. And by doing those righteous deeds, Allah Ta'ala will give us the speed to cross Pul Sirat very, very quickly and swiftly. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat wa akhir da'wana. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Subhanahu wa ta'ala.